Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Via Doloroso that led to Calvary, that demonstrated your love, that showed us what you think of sin, and ultimately did so much to change, to transform our lives. We pray this morning, Lord, as we look at your word, that we might gain your understanding, your knowledge. Help us, Lord, to learn your truth, that we may live to please you. Teach us this morning, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, on this Easter day, I want you to know I am not going to talk about the resurrection. Say what? That's right. I'm not going to talk about the resurrection, per se. I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about something that if you will understand, your life will never be the same again. I want to talk about something that God wants us to know, God wants us to understand, and if we will learn it, know it, understand it, and apply it, I guarantee that you will never be the same again. In fact, you will probably cut my job down in half or more. In the passage that Bob read this morning, the Apostle Paul, used by God, told the Ephesians that he was praying for them. Begins in verse 15. And he begins to tell them in Ephesians 1 how much that God had done for them and that he was praying for them and that he prayed about four specific things that probably for the most part you and I don't pray about. For our friends, for our family members. He said that he prayed, number one, that they would know God better. He said, number two, that he prayed that they would understand the hope to which God had called them. He prayed, number three, that they would understand the riches that God had given them. And he prayed, number four, that they might understand, that they might know the power that they have. Yesterday, Connie and I went up to the lake, and our plan was that we would go and drive around the lake in our boat. There was one problem. When you go and you plan on doing that and you want to be running your gas motor around the lake, you need to bring a key with you. So it does not matter how powerful the motor is. If you don't have that key to turn it on, it's not going to mean a whole lot. So we drove all the way home and got the key and went back and drove that motor and that boat around the lake. Power's no good unless you have the key to turn it on. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays about power, talks about power. We find it down in verse 19. It is the end of his prayer. It is the fourth thing for which he was praying. And it says in verse 19, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." First thing I'd like to talk about this morning is that we need to know that most believers do not know the power that they have. And I would guess this morning, I would bet this morning that most of you sitting here this morning do not know the power that God has given you. And I want you to know this morning that I don't fully understand it and know it either. Fact is that if we did, Paul wouldn't pray this. The fact that he prayed it for them, and by application is true of our need, tells me that neither they nor us really know it the way that God wants us to know it. And as I, as a pastor, counsel people and talk to people, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that most of us really don't know the power that we have. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 19 and 20, he doesn't pray that they might gain power. He doesn't here say, I'm praying that you would have power. I'm praying that you would be powerful. I'm praying that you would gain power. When you put verse 19 and 20 together with verse 15 and through, especially verse 18, the beginning of it, he says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know. I'm praying that you may know the hope which you have and the power that God has given you. I know we don't know it. When I hear believers, when I hear Christians say, I can't do that. I know what I need to do, but that's hard. I don't need to talk to you because I already know what I need to do, so you can't tell me anything new. So I already know what I need to do, so why bother talking? I know it when we as believers go to the doctor and ask for a pill to help us do what God has already given us the power to do. I want you to notice here a very important word in verse 18. He says here, I am praying for you. And in the middle of verse, he says, I'm praying that you may know. Look at that word, know. There are two words in the Greek language which the New Testament was written in for the word that we translate in our Bibles, the word know. The first word is gnosko. Don't worry about that. But let me explain what it means. It means to come into a experiential knowledge of something. In other words, it means to know something by experience. Kind of like if you go out and play a football game and you are actually in the game, so you are learning how hard somebody may hit or what it means to be tackled. You're experiencing it. It also is a word that means that you know something progressively. In other words, you begin by knowing a little bit and you go further and learn it more. And as you experience it, you learn it more. And as you experience it, you learn it more. It's the word gnosko. I want you to know that's not the word here. There's a second word, and it's the word here. It's the word oida. Oida means to know something not by experience, but to know something by perception. In other words, you are up in the stands watching the football game. You're not down there and experiencing it, but you are up in the stands and you are watching the football game being played. And as you watch that game being played, you're sitting in the stands and you're saying, I can see what's going on. I understand what's happening there. And maybe you are a football coach. So you have a full knowledge, a complete knowledge of everything that is involved in the game. You might be sitting back watching the game and you see what's going on. As a coach, you can say as you watch that game, let's see, this guy's moving there, that guy's moving there. Oh, that's right, okay, this is going to be a pass play. Or that guy's moving over there, watch out, this is going to be a blitz. Or that guy's doing that and this guy's doing that, so they're going to run the ball. You have a complete, total knowledge of the game, so as you sit and watch it, you know everything that's going on. It's the word used here. It's a word that carries the idea of fullness of knowledge or complete knowledge. It's not a knowledge that grows, but you have full comprehension of what is being talked about or what is being stated. So Paul says here, look, I am praying that you will know, you will completely understand, you will understand fully, you will have knowledge of the power that God has given you. Now, when Jesus was here on this earth, he promised that everyone who would follow him, everyone who would come to a saving knowledge of him, that every one of us would know and have and experience this power. Luke chapter 24, it says this, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." In Acts chapter 1, he said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." He promised that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, another comforter, and when he came, they would gain, they would receive, they would experience, they would know the power that he had promised. Jesus fulfilled that promise on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came down upon believers 40 days after he had ascended into heaven, Holy Spirit came and all the believers received and understood and had that power. Again, let me say here, Paul is not praying that they would get power. He is praying that they would know the power they were already given. One person wrote it this way. He prays, "Lord, help their spiritual eyes see and appropriate the power they already have residing in them." God's power is incredible. In fact, look with me in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, down in verse 20. This is a doxology, which is basically a praise to God. He ends this chapter with teaching, telling about great truths. So he says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." What is God able to do with his power? Well, he's able to do everything we ask or think. In fact, he's able to do all we ask or think. In fact, he's able to do abundantly more than all we ask or we think. In fact, God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think because of his great power. Anything you can think of, anything you can ask of God, God can not only do it, but he could do abundantly more. In fact, not only God can do abundantly more than what you ask or think, he could do far more abundantly than anything you ask or think because of his great power. So in chapter 1, Paul says, look, I'm praying that you might know that power. Secondly, know the reasons you need this power. Every one of us needs to know the reason why he prayed that they would gain the power, they would know the power, I should say. And we need to understand why you and I today need to know that power. There's basically two reasons. Reason number one is our nature is weak. I think most of us would understand that. We in ourselves, we're weak. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, the Lord is up having the Last Supper with his disciples. He's praying with them. He's talking with them. They're celebrating together. He knows that he is about to be betrayed by Judas. So it is late in the evening. It's probably around midnight. And he brings his disciples out into the place where he would pray, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he begins to whittle them down until he has his closest group with him. And he asks them to pray with him. And they fall asleep. And he goes and prays. And he comes back and he wakes them up and he asks them to pray with him and they sleep. And down in verse 40, it says, and he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. They needed to be courageous, but they were fearful. They needed to not give in to temptation, but they would. They needed to live in a manner that would please God, but they didn't. Peter had boasted to the Lord that if everyone else had fallen away, he would not. The Lord said he would. He said, no, I will not. Even if all of them do, he said, I will not. But he did. It was a long day. And I would guess that probably most of us, if not all of us, would have fell asleep too. They were physically tired. They were emotionally tired. They were spiritually tired. Jesus understood it. And he told them, look, no matter how tired you are, you need to watch and pray. He knew what was coming. Watch and pray. He knew what would happen. Watch and pray. But they slept. Jesus knew it. He said to them, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have the same problem. We often know what we need to do, but we say, you know, and often mean it, it's really hard. I really want to serve God. I really want to live for God. I really want to do the right thing. But right now I'm angry. Right now I'm depressed. Right now the world is caving in on me. Right now the stress and the difficulties of life are just so strong. Right now my inner just want to do the right thing, but at the same time, they're just crawling out of me and I want to do the wrong thing. Flesh is weak. Our nature is weak. And either we do not draw on the power that is there or we simply just don't even know it. We don't realize what God has given us. We don't understand what God has available for us. So we constantly say, I can't. And often mean it. We really think, I can't. We really believe that this is just too hard for any human being to do. Surely Jesus could do it because he was God, but I certainly couldn't do it because I don't have what he had. Paul prayed that they may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. Our nature is weak, our flesh is weak. We need to know this power. And it's not just that our nature is weak, but the second reason we need to know this power is because our enemy is strong. Our enemy is strong. You know, you think you're just going about life and really there's nobody out there that's trying to keep you from doing the right thing. There's really nobody out there that would try to keep you from living for God. Everybody surely wants what's best for you. Everybody surely wants to help you. But there is one who doesn't. There is one who doesn't want you to live for God. There is one who doesn't want you to do the right thing. There is one who would stand in every chance he has to keep you from doing what is right. Turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And look with me at verse 10. Finally, Paul has said everything he wanted to say. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, so often when they think of Satan, they think, he's not real. Are you kidding me? Guy with horns and a tail and he's red? That's not real. Well, you're right. There isn't a guy with horns and a tail and it is red. Satan doesn't look like that. But he is real. And he wants to do everything he can to destroy your life. You know, you save yourself sometimes. I'm nobody. Who cares about me? He does. And he wants to destroy you. For every Christian he can stop from living for God, from doing the right thing, then he's one step closer to trying to destroy God's work here on the earth. And he does not want you to live for him. Ladies, he does not want you to submit to your husbands. Guys, he does not want you to love your wives. Christian, he does not want you to serve God. He wants you to say no to God and yes to him. He wants every time there's a temptation put in front of you, he wants you to take it. He wants you to be too busy to serve God and busy enough to watch every stupid show on TV. Even if it's full of zombies. But he's real. And I know he's real. And every time you say you can't do the right thing, it shows that he's real. And every time there's a church that crumbles and falls apart, I'm not talking about a building, I'm talking about a group of people, I know he's real. And I know he's real because God said he's real. And he wants to destroy your life. That's why here in verse 10 and 11, he says, look, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that you can face him. So that you can take your stand against him. So in chapter 1, Paul says, I pray that you might know. So let me say thirdly this morning, know the power that you have in Christ. Know the power that you have in Christ. Look at all these words in verse 19. There's far too many. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? Why didn't Paul just say, I want you to know God's power and stop? He didn't. He says, I want you to know the immeasurable greatness of his power, that power that is working in his great might. He uses a whole bunch of words that he doesn't really need to use, that could have been very easily said with one word, but he doesn't do that because he wants us to know that power that we have. Let's look at them. The first phrase is the immeasurable greatness of his power. So let's work backwards. Let's start with the word power. The word power that's used here in this verse is the word from which we get our English word dynamite. He says, I want you to know the dynamite of God. The dynamite that you have and I have. It refers to the power or the ability to be able to do something, be able to carry something out. It is not inability. It is not I can't. It is I can. It is the power that is like the power of dynamite that says, I can do it. In fact, the word means the power that can overcome resistance. You ever feel sometimes in life you know the right thing to do and you really want to do it, but it just seems like all the forces of Satan are against you, and no matter how hard you try, you just keep failing. I want you to know this power is a power that gives you the ability not to fail. It's the power to overcome resistance. And it's not just power, but notice it's the greatness of power. The greatness refers to magnitude. It refers to size. It's the word they would use if you saw a gigantic tree. And you would say, wow, look at that great tree. It refers to height or extent or size. So he's saying that he prays that we would know the size of God's dynamite. But it doesn't stop there. Because he says it's immeasurable. This word simply means to throw beyond. Why don't you think for a moment, grab a football or you grab a ball, and you take that and you throw it as hard as you can, and you throw it to a spot. Maybe you throw it from in here, and you throw it out into the parking lot, and you bust someone's windshield. Next person gets up and says, you know what? I can beat that. You say, no, you can't. And you say, yeah, I can beat that. I can take this ball and I can throw it beyond where you threw it. That's this word. God wants us to know the immeasurable that goes beyond the greatness, the size of his dynamite. Goes beyond any power. Goes beyond the power of Satan. It goes beyond all the powers we read in Ephesians 6. There's no power that can even come close or can even fully comprehend the power that God has. God wants us to know that power. It is immeasurably great. He wants us to know it. But he doesn't stop there. He gives us a second phrase. He says the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. Let's go backwards again. The word might, it means capability. In fact, it refers to exceptional capability. It is the capability to function effectively. It is when we speak of God and we say of God, he is able. But this might is also great. Word that speaks of manifest power. In fact, it is the word that we often find to refer to dominion. It is that word which means the power that you see when someone is able to rule over others. The other day I saw an updated story on Charles Manson, the man who, this little guy who was got control over a whole group of people, so much control of them that he was able to talk them to go in and kill a bunch of people. That's this word. It's the power that is seen when someone has the ability to control others. And it's not just great might, but it's the great might that is working. And the word working here means efficient power. It means to put forth energy. In fact, it is the word from which we get our English word energy. Someone said it this way. This magnificent accumulation of words for power underscores the magnitude of God's great power that is available to Christians. In fact, when we read this, he says, I am praying that you would know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us that is according to the working of his great might. It is not just the power of God, but it is the power of God that he has given you and he has given me. We have it. In fact, he says in verse 20, notice, this is the power that is seen, that was used when he raised Christ from the dead. Yes, let me get back to the resurrection. The illustration of the power is the raising of Jesus. The power that it took to raise Jesus to bring life to a dead body is the power that God has given you and me to live this Christian life. In fact, in verse 20, not only does he illustrate with the resurrection from the dead, but it's the power that raised Christ to the right hand of God. It is the power that put Christ as the head of the church. In fact, let me take a really goofy example. I got my little buddy with me this morning. It's my teddy. Now, if I stood here this morning and sat Teddy down, and took a step back, and said, Teddy, get up and walk. And he did. You would all look at me with some really strange eyes. You know, you would look and you'd think that the lights would start blinking and those of you up front would kind of start walking back. Because we know that we couldn't take this bear that's filled of stuffing and somehow make it live. But could you imagine if I took this little bear and made it live and then beat the stuffing out of it and killed it? Of all its veins, of all its blood, of all its all the things that would I gave to make this thing live. And I took it all out of it. And we took it and we threw it away because it was dead. And 3 days later, came back, rolled away the stone, and watched it walk out again. The power that it would take to make that happen is something that you and I, in our minds, cannot comprehend. That is exactly what God did with Jesus. Gave him life, made him walk among us. The end of it took him, allowed him to be beat so bad that his body could no longer live and it died. So they buried him. See, the thing is, Jesus had not risen from the dead, everything he had said would be a lie. Everything he had said would be untrue. Everything that he had said would be meaningless. And one of the things he had said was that in 3 days he would show his power over death and he would walk again and he would rise from the dead. And he did. Now what God says in this passage here is that the power that it took to raise him from the dead is the very same power he has given you and he has given me. And I would bet on most days we would say, I don't believe that. I can't do what God wants me to do. It's too hard. I can't do that. I don't feel up to it. I can't do that. I don't have the strength. Oh, I know I could do that if I were him. I know I could do that if I were Jesus. You know, he was divine. God calls us to forgive those who have treated us horribly. And we say, I can't do that. But wait a minute, Jesus did it while he hung on the cross. He prayed for those who were crucifying him. And we say, yeah, but that's because he was God. And then Stephen prayed for those who were stoning him to death while they were doing it. And we say, yeah, but that was Stephen. I can't do that. And we look at the life of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we see all the things that went through his life. And we say, yeah, but that was the apostle. I can't do that. But yet Paul looks at us and he says, look, God has given you the same power he's given me, and you need to know it. In fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So we have no excuse. The point that is made in these verses is that the power to live a life pleasing to God has been given to us all if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If you have placed your trust in what Christ did when he died on the cross to take away your sin, if you believe with all your heart that the sole means of your sin being taken away out of your life was what Jesus did, not anything you can do, if you believe that his death, burial, and resurrection is the only thing that can bring you to God and ultimately bring you to heaven, if you have placed your trust in what Jesus did and who he is, then you can have this power that he has given. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can have the power that he talks about here, power that he's given you, power to overcome temptation, the power to witness, the power to forgive, the power to live the Christian life. I have it, you have it. I'd say, well, if we have it, why are things so difficult? If we have that kind of power, why does it seem so hard sometimes to live the Christian life? God knows that if he made everything just so easy for us, we'd never build the character that we need to have. And that's why God brings us through temptation and brings us through troubles and brings us through trials, so that as we go through those things, he builds within us perseverance, builds within us power not to quit. The reality is the greatest power shortage today is not that of gas. It is not that of electricity. It is not the need for a generator. The greatest power shortage today is the power shortage that is seen as in every Christian life when they do not rely upon the power of God. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What he's saying is, I can do anything because God gives me the ability to do it. He prayed that he might know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. What did he mean? Prayed that he might know what he prayed for the Ephesians here in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. You may be sitting here this morning, and as a Christian, you may be discouraged. You may be saying to yourself, I've tried to live the Christian life, and I haven't been able to. You may say that, I've kind of reached the point where I'm at the next stage and I'm just ready to give up, ready to quit. It's too hard. What you need to know this morning, what you need to understand this morning, is that anything that God calls you to do, anything that God calls you to do, he has given you the ability to do it. Simply means if you don't do what you know God wants you to do, it's not because you don't have the ability, it's because you simply refuse to obey God. the one who died for your sin. No situation is hopeless with God's power. We need to pray what is prayed here. God, help me to know the immeasurable greatness of your power according to the working of your great might. God, help me to know it. Help me to rely on it. Help me to live according to it. Let's quit saying I can't. Let's quit saying I won't. Let's begin to know God's power. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what is available in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrection power that is available to every life who has received Jesus as their Savior. Help us, Lord, to know that power. Help us to realize anything you want us to do, we can do it. We just need to learn to trust you and to rely upon you. Help us, Lord, to realize that if we live by the Spirit, we will not give in to the temptations of the flesh. Help us, Lord, to know your power. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.